God's love is not sentimentality. It's divine power. Divine power. It's more like an active verb than a descriptive noun. God is. His name is I Am. God is love. And if He lives inside of us, then love lives inside of us. But to live out love's attributes and love's behaviors, love's actions, we must practice love's presence, love's peace, love's perspective. And this means rejecting past childish habits and having a new childlike receptivity to God's will and His ways. Now, all of that is review from all of these. I mean, you heard it said, David, he's just preaching the same message over and over again. That point in review is almost every time I've shared that, because it's so important. Well, Jesus said, and I shared this last week or week last before, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, I think I sang a song of it, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. His peace in life's trouble, and literally that word trouble means pressure. That's what it means, pressing down, a pressure. That peace in the midst of life's trouble comes from our union with Christ. Our inner union inside of our hearts. His moral victory, His overcoming power is ours through His powerful love that indwells us, His powerful love's presence. So love's power is all throughout this chapter, the love chapter, but especially in this verse, number 7. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. When trouble comes along, love stands firm and strong. I love poetry, and it just comes out of me sometimes. But this is a little bit of a poetic way of saying this, and I'll share something else that's a little poetic later on, the same thing. But trouble, when it comes along, love faces it, and it stands firm. And stay strong. So we're going to notice as we go through here that love faces four sets of all things. Now, what I read to you was from the NIV version, but if you look at a more literal translation, like the Christian Standard Bible, it says this, and many other translations are much like this. Love, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That's what you're probably more familiar with than the NIV version. Although I like it. It always does it. It sticks with it. Well, love can face trouble coming at you in four directions at once. And that's what these all things, it says four times. And we know that if we know where trouble is coming from, then we're better able to overcome it. Christ has overcome all these troubles. He has overcome the world, and He lives within us. So we can overcome them. But sometimes we got to know where the source is and watch these directions that love is coming from. So trouble comes from within. It comes from within. Old bad habits. They're familiar. Oh, and we see them in other people too. Old bad habits of our inner child of the past that the psychologist Misseldine talked about so much back in the 60s. But then it's also from relationships, because other people have the same kind of need for inner healing. They need it too. I mean, it's like, and we're living with them. We're all around this. And then a troubled society. Trouble comes from a troubled society. A society that is alienated from God. And sometimes they're a little bit I guess you'd say, they're hostile sometimes to Christians. And you see this in various ways, especially through the media. But there's another, the fourth one is spiritual attack. For we do not wrestle, it says in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil. It says a lot about our armor there. We're going to look at that a little bit. But effectively facing this fourfold array, of all things requires love's perspective. And we talked about that last week in verse 6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It makes a distinction between the two. It doesn't have a namsy-pamsy, middle-of-the-road type of thing. It separates the two, and it says, this is evil, and this is good. You know, and we've got to have that, too. We've got to have that perspective. And in that perspective is taking into the consideration of discerning the nature of these all things. Because some of these all things are what God created. And it's like in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Even though it needs transformation now because of sin. So God uses love's behaviors, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, to transform all things, to bring about that transformation. But in transforming us, he leads us out of childishness and into childlikeness. And that's what I've been emphasizing again and again. So let's see how God does this, using love's behaviors with these four sources of trouble. First of all, love keeps the situation covered. Love keeps the situation covered. Love always protects. And the literal meaning of the NIV's protects, because that's what it says, protects, is the word covers. And it comes from the Greek word that means a thatched roof. And you're saying, well, yeah, that covers. It covers a house. And it keeps the rain off if it's thatched well. That's why they have the word thatched in there. It really comes from the word thatched, and it's really about a roof. Well, it's usually rendered, the rest of the New Testament and in other places in some of the Greek things, it doesn't say covered, but it says bears all things. So I took these two ideas and I combined them and I put them in a sentence. Love bears all things by protectively sheltering us from getting soaked by successes that inflate the head or by sorrows that deflate the heart, almost like water off a duck's back. And that's what it should be like in both those areas. We let none of that soak into us. None of it. Well, if troubles come along, love remains strong. Whatever situation we're in, God is in control, and therefore, love has the situation covered. Covered. And fame that flatters a childish ego or defeats that depress wounded emotions, they roll off of the roof where love is housing the peace of Christ. And that's what we are. We are vessels, like houses, temples, and the peace of Christ dwells within us, and love is like that roof that keeps those things from just off of us. Love, on meeting immaturity, when we meet immaturity in someone else, relationships or people we meet, love stays calm, cool, and collected. There's another translation I'm probably using this more now, I just discovered it. It's called the King James 3. Someone who's translated maybe, I think this fellow translated the Bible more than anybody else that we ever know of. His name is Green. I forget his first name. He translated the King James 3. It's a literal translation. Takes the King James and makes it more literal. Here's what he said about that. Love quietly covers all things. Quietly covers, keeps calm, cool, and collected. and quietly covers. It really relates to another verse in Peter 4:8, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. That's where this thing of covering. And then society around us. The society around us promotes childishness, doesn't it? It tries to sell us childishness on through its all these advertisements. It tries to say, you should be like this. This is what you should be like. Ooh, wee, I want to be the premier leader here, you know. And childlike receptivity to God's love thickens our skin against that, you know. And here, the best translation of Romans 12:2 that I know of is a Phillips translation. Listen to it. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. And that's the whole goal of this chapter. And then finally, the fourth source, when demons attack, when spiritual forces of darkness attack, love fights back. James 4 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Our childlike submission, our childlike openness to God, where we submit to God and to love's power, that's Satan's nightmare. If we resist him with that openness to God's power, he has to flee. It says he will flee, and he does. Okay, then love keeps an optimistic faith. Love always trusts, and the literal there is believe all things. But the verb form of that noun, believe, is the word faith, and it's used throughout the New Testament, so we always know about what faith is. But romantic love, it's said, is blind. You've heard that, love is blind. It's romantic love, it's said, is blind. But love, who romanced all things into creation and all things into existence, sees what isn't visible. It sees the invisible. It sees what's not there yet. And that's what this thing in Hebrews says in Hebrews 11 was talking about faith. And by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. In all things, God wants us to be like Him, speaking forth faith. Speaking forth love's faith that brings things into existence that He wants. He wants us to bring them into existence by our speaking forth love's faith. The inner wounds that disrupt our life, love always trusts in healing. For the stormy relationships, love always trusts in prayer's power. For stormy worldly trials that confront us, love always trusts in prayer's power and the healing power to bring healing into the situation. And then in spiritual battle, love always trusts in putting on God's armor. Now, a lot of times we read through the passage on the armor in Ephesians chapter 6. It's not just reading about it. You've got to put it on. You've got to put it on. And all of those things in the armor of God are behaviors, like this love is all about behaviors. And then love keeps expecting victory. Love always hopes. Faith leads into hope. We walk by faith, not by sight. And Romans 8 says, hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he has seen? It's things that we don't see that we have hope about. And that's why faith and hope are so close. And this thing about hope is not like we use it so much. I hope so. Oh, I hope so. No, it's an expectation. It's a confident anticipation. And that's why it's what God has hope. He confidently anticipates what he has said and spoken forth by faith, he anticipates its coming into existence. And that's why he's given us his word. That's why we need to speak forth his word. Love eagerly expects all things that God promises to come into existence, to really happen. Love abolishes one thing in us. It's the gambling we do that our past childish ways will finally win the lottery. We just keep on with these past childish ways and finally we'll win it. We bet long enough on our old ways of behavior and they'll finally work. Well, maturity invests in a sure win. In 1 Timothy 4, in the Christian Standard Bible, it says, "For this reason we labor and strive because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe." And when I read that, I thought, yeah, you know, God is the Savior of all people. He really wants to be, you know. And when we meet people that are not yet believers, the first thing we should think is that love hopes all things. It love hopes that these people that we meet will come into the kingdom of God. If they are Christians who are weak and maybe they're immature, if they'll grow up. If they're not saved, that they'll accept Christ. Love's expectancy meets the hostile influences that are around us in the world with utter confidence in God's intervention. God will intervene. And 1 Peter says, "Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Well, Jesus Christ has been revealed and he's coming back to reveal again. This idea, when spiritual forces of darkness assail us, love always hopes. And it says in Romans chapter 8, "For in this hope of the manifestation of resurrection that Jesus is coming back to bring when he is revealed, in this hope we were saved." You know, we say we're saved by faith. We're also saved by hope. This hope saves us. When we put our total hope in this, it's a hope our hope in the first coming of Christ. We understand what that meant. We're looking forward to the second coming. It's the fulfillment of our hope. And what did you do the first time? You know, here we are, confronted and assailed by spiritual darkness. What did Jesus do? What is our hope? Our hope is in his revelation. Why was Jesus revealed? It says it in 1 John chapter 3. "The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." We can meet all of these things in every direction it comes. All the trouble in life, we can meet with love. Love keeps hanging on. Love always perseveres. I read this in a little book I bought in a thrift store, and I love it because it's little quotes. I have to reshape them a little bit, but here's it said this: God gives a promise, faith believes it, hope anticipates it, patience hangs on to it. I like that. It just sums up this whole thing. Believers are on trial. These many things, that life's troubles, they're testing us. We're on trial. We're being tested by many, many troubles. But love's mighty power equips us to hang on, to persevere. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." You see, it's all about a love relationship with the God who indwells our hearts and the Father who indwells heaven. And we have to maintain that love, and then we will have this perseverance. When life gets tough, the tough, yeah, they get going, but they also trip and fall sometimes too when they get going. But in the long, painful process of inner healing, love hangs on. With difficult people, love endures all things with hope and faith, you know, that God's going to work. In a world that's against us, love perseveres because Jesus is for us. And when Satan trips us up, we hang on to our sword, which is the Word of God, and our shield of faith, and we get back up into a prayerful stance of battle. Because we're going to keep on fighting until we die. We're going to go, maybe we'll go down at some point, but not spiritually. We're just going to go out of the battle. We'll be part of the church triumphant, and while the church militant is still going on down here. When troubles churn, love stands firm. That's not quite a good rhyme, but this inner healing for familiar bad habits and poor attitudes, divine help in troubled relationships with others, supernatural power in facing worldly and demonic oppression. All these powerful resources are at our disposal. In fact, they belong to us. They belong to us. They're ours in love. For God is love, and God indwells our hearts. And this is all through what Jesus did, what this meal represents that we participated in. This is what this whole thing is about, why we are Christians. It's not about just, you know, bearing the name, I'm a Christian, yeah, this is how I believe. How do we live? Jesus said, follow me. He's in our hearts. I mean, he's that close. And we have this indwelling presence of love through our wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's practice the power of love. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this passage. And I know we're getting near the end of it. Lord, we want it not to be something just head knowledge. Lord, and not even just heart knowledge or heart participation, but live, lived out practice in our lives. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.